Well, hello and welcome again to MCC Online. It's great that we can join together using this online platform whilst we can't meet together in the building. And in case you're wondering, there's about 200 people that log in and have a look at this each week. So it's great that you can join with us, and we know that we are meeting together under the Holy Spirit in this this weird and wonderful way. But let's hope we can get back to seeing each other in person sometime soon. And if you missed the kids bit that comes just before this video, you can always get the links to the Kids Force material. It's at the end of the bulletin. And there's also a great little 8-minute video there from the guys at QuizWorks as well. If you haven't had the chance to look at that before, that's a really good thing to watch for kids of all ages. So I'd encourage you to have a look at that when you get the chance. Now this morning we're going to hear from Jeremy, and he's going to continue us on the journey of coming back stronger with his message about not being about new rules, but it's about a new reality. Now I'm sure most of you have heard the story about the Good Samaritan. That's the one where the bloke gets beaten up and left in the street, and all the guys that should help him out don't, but it's the guy that you least suspect goes and helps him out and looks after him. So and again, looking forward to hear what Jeremy's got to say about that a little later on in this morning's service. Now for me, it's been great this week to catch up with a few people. We were able to meet in our small DNA huddle this week. We had less than 10 people, so we were able to do that. And I'd encourage you, if you are in a small group of less than 10 people, to try and meet up when you can, when it's safe to do so. The COVID safe way is what they're saying. So that's less than 10 people, making sure that you practice that social distancing and good hygiene practices when you see each other. And of course, if you are crook, don't turn up to those meetings as well. Just give us a quick call and say that that you can't meet because you may or may not have a sniffle. So looking forward to doing more of that as these restrictions get lifted over the coming weeks as well. This week's the last of our Pray in May Zoom prayer meetings that we've been doing for all of this month. If you haven't had the chance to join us yet, then just follow the links in the bulletin on Wednesday, either at 6:30 in the morning or at 7 o'clock in the evening, so that you can join with us and pray together. Now, if you've got a prayer request and you'd like some prayer for something, then why don't you send an email to Jeremy or to Kim in the office, and we'd be more than happy to pray for you at the prayer meeting as well. So looking forward to doing that this coming Wednesday. And for those that are interested in health and well-being, well, tonight's your night. We've got Kylie Evans coming to lead a discussion on the topic of health and well-being as part of our Inspiring Conversations series. Now, it starts at 7 p.m. and if you've not joined in previous weeks, then why not join us this week, or bring a friend as well? You can do that, especially if you're interested in that health and well-being category. So follow the links that are in the bulletin and join in the conversation to hear what God's saying about how health and well-being should form a part of our lives as well. Now, just a reminder for those that call Miranda Kong their home church, you can still give your offering online, and you can find the link for that in our bulletin. Now, if you don't receive a copy of the bulletin and you would like to, why don't you reach out to us via this Facebook page and we'll arrange to email a copy to you. Well, without further ado, let's pray together and commit this service to the Lord this morning. Thank you, Almighty God, for who you are and for what you're doing for us. We thank you for our faith in Jesus that leads us to receive your grace and to spare us from judgment. We pray that despite us being in different locations this morning, that the Holy Spirit will wrap himself around us and let us feel your presence. We pray this in your Son's most powerful name. Amen.
Again this week, we're going to introduce this new song that we learnt last week. Great are you, Lord. I just want to tell you the words from the bridge. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. What beautiful words those are.
You give
This is a lovely old hymn about how great our God is.
Thank you. morning's Bible reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through to 37. In the NIV Bible, it's under the heading, The Parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbour? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and he saw him. He took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This is the word of God. Let us now pray for this morning's message. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can be here this morning, that we can come together via these electronic means, and that we can learn from your word and we can study and apply it to our lives. We thank you for your messenger who's brought the message this morning that you've placed on his heart to share with us. And Father, through your message, we pray that many things will be revealed to us and that we will be able to go out into the world and spread the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you so much for all that you've done for us, and we do pray for the message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Welcome, a special welcome to my church community, MCC, and others of you that are watching as well, tuning in. It's great to have your company this morning, Sunday morning, church online. Somebody said to me this week, you're either up or you're getting up. And I've been thinking about that, and I like that. You're either up or you're getting up. And I'm not talking about getting up out of bed, Mr. Robert Turner, but I'm talking about being up. You're up. Your receptors are up. You're ready to receive God's word. Your faith is up. Your expectation is up. And I'm just believing that together, as we look at God's word, that the Holy Spirit will minister to you. And if you're not up, then you'll be up in the next 20 minutes. What a great way to start the week as well, starting on Sunday, and we're up for the week. We're going to be looking over the next 3 weeks at the story of the Good Samaritan. It's found in Luke chapter 10 and verses 25 through to 37, a well-known story. And as I said, over the next 3 weeks, we'll be looking at it. I'm going to look at this story under the theme or the banner of joining Jesus in the renewal of all things, which is our vision. That's our catch cry at our church, joining Jesus in the renewal of all things. And this particular message, the first in 3, is entitled, Not New Rules, A New Reality. Well, I'm not going to read our text, Luke chapter 10, 25, 37. It's already been beautifully read to us from Ray Keogh. Thank you for that, Ray. And so no need for me to read it. But I want to just share some thoughts with you from this story, and I want us to look at it from 4 perspectives. Firstly, there is the setting. Secondly, the story itself. Thirdly, the sequel. And then fourthly, we'll look at this story in terms of the significance of the story. So the setting, the story, the sequel, and the significance. So let's start by looking together at the setting of this story, and we find that in verses 25 through to 29. This is a story about a lawyer and a rabbi. A lawyer, someone who studies the law. Not a lawyer as we would know a lawyer today, someone who is in court, in the courtroom, at the courthouse, but a lawyer is someone who's given their life, it's their job, it's their vocation to study the scriptures, to study the law, study the Old Testament scriptures. And so we have a lawyer who is smart, clever, well-educated, well-learned. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul's commendation to young Timothy, study to show yourself approved, Timothy. Well, this lawyer has studied, and he probably approves of himself more than anyone else. But it's a story about a smart lawyer, and it's a story about a young rabbi, Jesus, a young teacher. And it's a discourse, it's a conversation that these two have, and the subject is eternal life. In fact, the conversation starts with the lawyer who says to this young rabbi, what must I do? Teacher, what must I do to inherit? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responds to this. And it's interesting the way he responds. He acknowledges the education of the lawyer. And he says to the lawyer, well, what is your reading of it? Interesting way he puts that. He's not just saying, you know, what do you, how do you read it, but what do you understand of it and how are you living it is probably more to the point there. And so the rabbi then, the lawyer, he responds to that question and he quotes from the scriptures. He quotes from the law and he takes Jesus to Deuteronomy 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And then he takes him and he quotes from Leviticus 19, where it says there that we are to love our neighbor as ourself. And to this response, the rabbi then acknowledges the lawyer and he tells him, he says, you've answered correctly. And then he says, now go and do it. Or in other words, now go and live out loving God and loving your neighbor. Well, the lawyer wants to continue the conversation. He's not finished yet. And it's interesting to note that he then picks up, of course, he's wanting justification. We know that he's testing Jesus, but he wants to be justified. He wants to be affirmed. He already believes that he loves God and he loves his neighbor. He probably already believes that he has that ticket, you know, the golden ticket, as it were, into eternal life. But he presses Jesus. And I want you to notice that he doesn't press him with the first command. He doesn't take this young rabbi up on what is it to love God, but rather he takes the second command and he says, well, who is my neighbor? So this is the setting of the story. Then we have the story itself, which has already been read to us, so I'm not going to read it. But we find the story in verses 30 through to 35. Notice we have the location. The location of this story. It's set somewhere along the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem, high elevation, and you would travel from Jerusalem down this long, winding road to Jericho. Or if it was the other way around, you start at Jericho and you walk up. For those of you that are fitness fanatics and like a good run on a Saturday morning, this would be a great challenge for you to run the Jericho Road. Either up or down. In fact, return, you know, it's a 27-kilometer run, so it's a good workout on a Saturday morning. But it is a winding road. It's aptly named the Pathway of Blood. The Pathway of Blood. It's a notorious road. It's well known. When Jesus would have started telling this story, the lawyer would have identified with this road. Everybody knows the Jericho Road. Still today, if you were to take an Israel tour, a tour of Israel, you may have the opportunity to walk this Jericho Road or ride this Jericho Road. It's notorious for robbers and thieves. They sit and they wait in the alcoves there on the sides of the roads, hidden, waiting for their prey. It's a long, winding, cold, wet road. Many times there the sun is hidden by the mountains. And so it's the perfect place for robbers and thieves to wait. The occasion is a man is traveling. He's traveling, the Bible tells us, from Jerusalem. So he's heading down this long winding road to Jericho. And we have then the three travelers. The three travelers. We have the priest who sees this man that's been beaten up. There he is, left half dead, the Bible says, naked. He passes by on the other side. We have the Levite. He's traveling and he sees and he passes by. And then we have the Samaritan who also sees but doesn't pass by. He stops and he ministers to this man. I don't want to go too much into the ministry that takes place. It's there for us to read. But I would like to just mention one thought, and that is of the generosity of this Samaritan. He's generous with his time. He's generous with his talent. He's generous with his treasure. And he's generous with his tender, an old-fashioned word for money, but it gives me the four T's. But there's such generosity, and I like that about this story, actually. I don't want to dwell on it too much, but the generosity of the Samaritan, you know, not knowing this man, and there he is, and, you know, his own safety could be in question, but he gives him time. And, of course, he stays with him overnight, and he's willing to come back again, generous with his time. What a way to live. What a disposition that is. He's generous with his talent. He's obviously got some knowledge in first aid, and he's able to bind the wounds up and add the oil and etc. And then, of course, generous with his treasury. He has a donkey, and he has been riding the donkey more than likely, and so he's willing to walk and put this half dead, bloody, beaten up man onto his donkey, onto his treasure, and go the rest of the journey. Then, of course, generous with his tender, generous with finance, pays for the accommodation and any other expenses, and is willing to come back again. And if there's any more expenses, he says to the innkeeper, I'll cover the costs. So we have the setting and we have the story. We then move to the sequel. The sequel. We find the sequel in verses 36 and verse 37. And I'm going to read the sequel because this is very interesting. The sequel in verse 36, 37. So we've got the setting, we've got the stories being told. Jesus now says this, and he addresses the lawyer. He says, which of these three, so the choice is three, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert in the law replies, the one who has had mercy on him. Of course, he can't say Samaritan, such is the mutual hatred of the Jews and the Samaritans. But he identifies correctly that the Samaritan is the neighbor. And then Jesus says to him, go and do likewise. Very interesting. Notice here how Jesus changes the question. Of course, we have the original question from the lawyer, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Followed up by, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus, in the sequel, changes the question. He doesn't answer the question. He changes it. He says to the lawyer, well, which of these three do you think is the neighbor? I find that fascinating, how that he changes the question. We're going to look at that next week. So if you're interested, tune in next week, and we're going to look at the significance of that. But we have the sequel. Go and do likewise. Then we come to the significance of this story. The significance is found in what the travelers saw, firstly, and then secondly, the significance is found in Jesus' command to go and do likewise. Firstly, notice with me, in terms of the significance of this story, that all three travelers saw the beaten up man. The priest saw, it tells us in the text. The Levite saw, and the Samaritan saw. All three people saw. I want to make some comments on sight and seeing and what we see in the context of joining Jesus in the renewal of all things, in the context of not new rules but a new reality, and in the context of who is my neighbor. Firstly, notice with me that it's not enough to see a need, you must do something. In fact, once you have seen, you are then obligated to do something. Secondly, notice that what you do is dependent upon what you see. Your action is dependent on what you see. Some time ago, I was traveling. It was quite a few years ago. I was with my four girls, our four girls in the car. Beth wasn't in the car, so I just had the four girls. And we'd been somewhere. We were coming home. We were only just around the corner. And as we turned around the corner in the car, there was in the gutter a man standing over another man and kicking him in the stomach, kicking him in the head. And it was very graphic, and you could see he was totally dominating this man. And as soon as I saw it, I processed 100 thoughts, as you do, in a short space of time. And I wanted to stop, and I probably could have handled myself, although who knows whether he had a knife or a weapon of some description. But I think if I hadn't had my girls in the car, I would have stopped. But I had my girls in the car, and so I thought, if I stop, I could put my girls' lives in danger. I could get beaten up, and then the guy could set up on my girls. And so I drove by. I was like the priest, I was like the Levite, and I passed by. Not that I really wanted to. Your action is determined by what you see. The third thing I want you to notice with me is that what you see is determined by who you are. Let me say that again. What you see is determined by what and who you are. I was traveling some years ago again over country Victoria with a good friend of mine, one of my best friends, Ted Evans. And Ted's a farmer, lives on a farm in Adelaide now, and a beautiful farm called Redemption House. In fact, tonight you'll get the opportunity to meet Ted and his wife, Kylie. Kylie's going to be sharing at our inspirational conversations about health and well-being. So I really want to encourage you. Join us tonight at 7 o'clock. The link to Zoom is there on the website, or it's there in the weekly bulletin. Come and join us for some interesting and inspiring conversation with Kylie and Ted. But as we were flying over country Victoria, Ted looked down and he made this comment. He said, "Wow, look at those Frisians down there." And I looked, and I didn't have a clue what a Frisian was. I looked down and I said, oh, those cows. He said, no, they're Frisians. And then as we went a little bit further, he would say, well, look at those Jerseys. Look at those Herefords. You know, to me, they're just cows, but not to Ted. Look at those, look at that Beefmaster, he said. Well, I was interested in the Beefmaster, probably a dead Beefmaster, not a live one. But you get my point here. See, what you see is determined by who and what you are. The Samaritan responded out of what he saw and who and what he was. Secondly, I want you to notice, in terms of the significance of this story, is that it's found in Jesus' words when he says, "Who do you think was a neighbor?" And then his words, "Go and do likewise." In other words, and this is the way I've always interpreted until recent times, Jesus is saying, do what the Samaritan did. Do what the Samaritan did. Go and find people that have been beaten up and minister to them, whether they're physically beaten up or whether they are in some other way beaten up, going through hard times. You know, I started off by saying you're up or you're getting up. You know, look for those that aren't up and help them get up. So go and do that. That's what I've always thought that the rabbi Jesus was saying to this lawyer. Go and do what the Samaritan does. And he is. But it's more than that. Jesus is actually saying to the lawyer, he's giving him a greater challenge, actually, than just go and do what the Samaritan did. He's actually saying to him, go and love the Samaritan. Go and do what the Samaritan did, but love the Samaritan. That is a greater challenge for this lawyer. That's a greater challenge for the Jew. You're saying to me that I've got to love that Samaritan? Interestingly, when Jesus changes the question in the sequel, the lawyer answers his own question. The Samaritan is the neighbor. You've answered it yourself. See how clever Jesus is. You've answered correctly. He's the neighbor. You know you've got to love your neighbor. So now go and love the Samaritan. It reminds me of another story that Jesus told when that rich young ruler came to Jesus and he asked the same question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And then in the end of the story, Jesus says, well, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. And it tells us there that the rich young ruler went away discouraged, disappointed, despondent. No, I can't sell all that I can. I can't sell all my wealth. Interesting in this story that we don't have further conversation. The lawyer doesn't respond to that. He would have known full well. The young rabbi, this young unlearned teacher in the eyes of the lawyer has nailed me. I've got to go and do what the Samaritan did, but I've got to love the Samaritan. You see, from the lawyer's perspective, he loved God. He thought he did. And he loved his neighbor. To the lawyer, the neighbor was his family. The neighbor was his close friends, his work associates. They were your neighbors. Certainly it's not the Samaritans. Certainly it's not those that are down and out. Certainly it's not those that are needing help, that are needing ministry. They're not my neighbors. And Jesus says they are your neighbor. So go love the Samaritan. So what's the take home for us this morning? I think the take home is found in that maybe you and I need a renewal of all things. We need a renewal of our love for God and a renewal for our love for our neighbor. I thought about it this week. I thought maybe our neighbor is across the bridge. We laugh about that, don't we? You need a visa to get into the Shire. Don't cross the bridge. Who is your neighbor? Love God, love people. Love God, love your neighbor. Maybe we need to pray. Jesus, we thank you for this story and we thank you for the truths in this story. And I pray, Lord, that as we look to joining you in the renewal of all things, that we would receive a fresh renewal. A new renewal, a renewal of our love for you and a renewal of our love for one another, a renewal of love for our neighbours, that we would be able to approach our neighbours and be able to minister to them, minister your love, minister your grace. Your word says, freely we have received, freely we should give. We should be those generous Samaritans that minister your grace and your love. Help us, I pray, in this endeavor, in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. A big amen. God bless you. See you next Sunday for part two.
Mountains bow down and the seas roar. Let's together shout all the earth.
Mountains bow down and the seas roar.
mountains bow down and the seas roar. Let's together shout all the earth.
James Follett, and I'd like to thank you for joining our online community this week as we meet together as MCC Online. To learn more about what we're doing online during this time in amongst changing environments among COVID, I'd encourage you to like our Facebook page to stay up to date, as well as make sure you're continuing to read the newsletters that are sent through. I'd also like to encourage you to share in the comments below anything that you found particularly encouraging or challenging today from Jeremy's message that he shared with us. And as we finish our time together today, I'd like to close in prayer. Dear God, thank you that you are a God who cares for us and who desires to know each one of us individually. You know the number of hairs on each of our heads. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would be helping us to love you, God, and love others. And I pray that we would be able to see who are our neighbors in our local community, that you would be helping us to show your love in those places and give us wisdom to know what to do and when to do it, and courage to be able to follow it through, and that we can trust on you, that your Holy Spirit would provide for us and equip us for whatever we need at the right time when we need it, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us again today. I would encourage you to share the message with someone today to help encourage them and help them think about their neighbor. Goodbye, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday and whatever it has to hold.